Hey, Rob Bradford here. You guys know I'm always up for a good MVP story, and one of the best stories is Wasabi Technology. Wasabi is the world's hottest cloud storage company, and it's become the go-to provider for professional and collegiate sports teams, including 20 Major League Baseball teams like the Red Sox and NHL teams like the Bruins and Vancouver Canucks. Even the Liverpool Football Club is getting in on the Wasabi action. So why is Wasabi the MVP? Well, Wasabi was purpose-built to free businesses from skyrocketing storage costs and unpredictable transaction fees that the Amazons of the world are charging. In fact, Wasabi is up to 80% less than those hyperscalers and doesn't charge a cent for businesses to access their data. From Wasabi's AI-enabled intelligent media storage, Wasabi Air, to the industry's only cloud storage service with triple protection against cyber criminals, data deletion, and ransomware, Wasabi's taking the lead in driving innovation in data storage and helping sports teams to unleash the power of their data. Wasabi, another Boston-based championship team.
This is Jay Horowitz, the latest edition of Amazing Mets Alumni Podcast. And my special guest this week is my good buddy, Robin Ventura. Hey, Robin, first off, I wanted to wish you a happy anniversary. 22 years ago this month, you set a major league record which still is intact, in the grand slam in each end of a doubleheader against the Milwaukee Brewers. How does it feel to still have a major league record after all these years, Robin?
22 years. Jeez, is that – it doesn't seem that long ago. But,
it was.
It's nice, to have something, I guess. But, I think the most enjoyable part of it is just the guys that you're around and you can remember those guys. And, Al, I'm at Oklahoma State right now. We played Vanderbilt. So Jack Leiter was pitching. So Al came out and that kind of stuff comes up. We just remember, some of the stuff that happened. And I think that was his game in the
he
first
pitched the first game. Right.
Yeah.
The first game.
And, Al always liked early runs. So that one happened in the first inning. So, that part, you can remember and kind of, smile about.
Well, I did some research, Mr. Ventura. You have 294 home runs, and you had 6.1% of your home runs were grand slams. 18, tied for fifth was a great Willie McCovey. How did you do, what mindset when you went up to bat, to have 18 grand slams out of 294 home runs? What did you think differently or a different approach? I mean, what was your success?
That's a kind of a tough question. I think, I was fortunate to always hit around really good hitters. So, usually people didn't want to face Mike and then it would kind of go to the next guy. So I was usually there with the White Sox, I had Frank and Albert and, you get put probably in more of those situations just because they don't want to pitch to Mike. They'd rather pitch to somebody else or Frank. And, I just kind of always looked at it as they don't want to walk in a run. So if you can be patient and not let them trick you, you're eventually going to get something good to hit. And I really wasn't about trying to hit a home run. It's just trying to hit a fly ball. Because I think in most instances, very few times there was two outs. So you're just trying to hit a fly ball to, get a guy in. And if you get it right, you end up hitting a homer. So I think a lot of those things kind of went into it. There's some pitchers that they weren't going to give in. They'd rather walk you in than give you something good to hit. But there, on the other hand, there's pitchers that don't want to walk somebody in, and eventually they're going to give you something good to hit.
And with the White Sox, you hit two grand slams against the Rangers in one game. Robin, have you followed what Tatis's son, Tatis Jr. did? He hit two home runs in one game, like to the day after his dad hit two grand slams in one game. What do you think of that achievement?
Well, I think anytime you start looking back at sons that come in and end up doing things either that their dad did, I can remember when, Ken Griffey Jr. and his dad hit homers in the same game, which is, I think, truly remarkable that Senior was playing that long and Junior was good enough to play that early. But I think anytime you start seeing sons come up and can play, Tatis Jr. is a really good player. I mean, if you see him, it's pretty remarkable how good he is. So it doesn't surprise me that he did it, but, you know, there's probably going to be more of that.
You know, I can't go with Grand Slams. I have to talk about the Grand Slam that wasn't in the LCS in 99.
Oh, you're not counting that one?
No, we. I can't. Okay.
I'm just making sure you're doing your research.
There's an asterisk next to that one.
Okay.
It helps beat the Braves. It's in the rain. And, you know, Todd Pratt to this day blames you for Mamadi with first base. He said, all of your home runs were fly balls. Huge fly balls. And this particular home run was a line drive, and he thought it wasn't a home run. And that's why he went to you at first base. And what do you remember about that day, Robin?
Well, he should watch it. I think he should pay attention a little bit better. Because there was a few people that did watch it, and they were waiting for me at home, and it never happened. So everybody came out the second. But I think in most instances people remember it because it's so unusual,
right?
And I think that kind of becomes the fun part of that play, is there was confusion all over the place. You know, unfortunately, the bettors didn't like it. I did hear a lot about that.
The over or under?
Yeah, the over under. I didn't know. I mean, obviously, I don't know what it is, but they sure did, because there was a few hate things coming out at the time that I did it. And of course, I'm going to point at Pratt, because he's the one that came back and stopped me. I would have ran around the bases because I saw it, but. Again, just the atmosphere of it, the way everybody came out of the dugout and reacted to it, I think is a really cool part of that play and that team and things like that. So it even though you'd like to have a Grand Slam, it's probably best that it just stays the way it is. And, I know it went over the fence. Most people know it went over the fence, but nobody's going to be trying to break that record.
Sorry, I can't count it, Robin. I wish I could, but I can't. Let me talk about the locker room for a minute, the years you were there. You know, Johnny Franco was a jokester. He did things, to bring things together. You were really not as did the things that Johnny did, but you had your own special way of doing stuff to unite the team. A couple of examples, what do you remember? Yankee Stadium in a rain delay. You dress up as Mike with the eye black, batting stamps, running around the bases, and the team was hysterical in the dugout. I mean, how did you come to think of that?
And, are you sure that was me, Jay?
Well, my eyes are not
sure
that
good.
I think it was you. I think it was you.
But okay, I'm just making sure.
Yeah.
I don't know if I would be really good with today being able to do it, just because of all the phones and everything else. Most of the stuff that we did, you could do, and it didn't really get out. I think I kind of have this private side that I like to kind of keep it in-house. So most of my stuff was done inside the locker room where nobody could really see it. And that was one of those outlier ones where, you know, it was a long rain delay, wasn't it?
I think
it was really long because we weren't playing that well.
Right.
I just remember Johnny and Al coming up going, and especially Johnny, like, you gotta do, because I was walking around in the locker room during the delay, and I would kind of walk around like Mike and joke around with him, but every time I walked by his locker, I'd pick something up and put it on and keep walking around and, you know, just trying to keep everybody loose and ready to play. And Johnny goes, if we get rained out, you're going on the tarp and you're going to run on the tarp. And I'm like, I don't know if I can do that. And it kept going. And they finally called the game and Johnny's like, all right, I got everybody. We're going down. And I'm thinking, I don't know if I can do this. And I really had no choice at that time, because they're like, we need something. We need somebody to do something incredibly stupid. And I was the perfect guy to do it.
Well, it was a great. Another thing that Bobby V gives the credit for, Toronto gets thrown out of the game, argued with the umpires. And he says the guy who made me come back in the dugout dressed up with Robert Ventura. He said, nobody will know it's you. Do it. Was Bobby V mistaken, or you take full credit for that?
I don't think I could force Bobby to do anything. I think he wanted to go down there. And the one part about it is I never got my hat and glasses back. And those were good glasses too. I don't know if he kept them or what happened to them, but I never got them back. I never got my hat back. So he was in the locker room and you could tell he wanted to go back out there, but
that's great.
Yeah, he wasn't afraid to do stuff like that.
Robin, another thing was in the locker room. You made me a Doors fan. I mean, I know you went to a concert with John Olerud, and you made L.A. Woman, Mojo Rising, our theme song, and it kind of brought the guys together. You went in the locker room, was blasted all over. It was a great song, and it was really like typified our season that year. You know, 94 games, went a little short in the World Series. But what do you remember? How did you pick out that song to be the song?
You know, Ole and I went to a movie. We watched Austin Powers. And in that movie, it was like talking about a mojo or everything. And John, you know, John doesn't have a ton of emotion, but we were walking out and he goes, you know, we're playing pretty good right now. We got a pretty good mojo going. And, you know, I just kept thinking, I've heard that somewhere. Like, there's something with that somewhere. And I remember that door song. And I went in and I asked Charlie, I'm like, hey, you got any Doors on your, you know, you can play the Doors? And he goes, yeah. I said, all right, if we went and I play the, you know, LA Woman. And he goes, okay. And for some reason, that song kind of starts out slow and he started it. And by the time we got on the field and you walk from the field at Shea into the locker room, because you have to go through that tunnel and back over, it was like perfect timing for that part of the song to come on. And I don't know. I mean, it just kind of took off. You know, I didn't expect it to be anything like that. I mean, sometimes you do that stuff and nothing.
No, it's a great song.
It doesn't get any traction, but I think we had enough older guys that it was like, you know, that's actually kind of fun. So it ended up kind of having a life of its own. It wasn't like that's the only stuff I listened to, but it just seemed to work with that team.
Yeah, it did. So I want to apologize again. I'm interrupting.
You should.
Interrupting spineless week. So Robin Ventura, let me tell the listeners, back to Oklahoma State as a student, three-time
coach,
All-American.
Student coach.
Three-time All-American, 58-game hitting streak at college. College Baseball Hall of Fame, every record imaginable with the Cowboys. What made you go back to school, Rob, to try and get your degree?
I was just kind of looking for something to do. It was like I still love coaching baseball and doing stuff, and this was something that just seemed kind of fun. You know, I like the age group. I haven't coached in college. I've pretty much coached everywhere else. And I had come back for some football games and ran into Josh Holiday. That's our coach here. And Matt Holiday had just joined him as a volunteer assistant, and their dad was one of my coaches. So it was a familiar group. Rob Walton's the pitching coach. I played with him here. And, they kept asking me about it. And I was, maybe I'll do it. But the only way to do it was to be a student coach. And I was like, ooh, that creates a little different animal. But, I just kind of like doing different things. And it just seemed like a really fun thing to do. And I'm having a great time. I mean, I enjoy it. It's just one of those things that you get to, work with young kids and try and help them kind of be the best version of themselves.
Is it learning virtual, Robin? Are you in class? I mean, what's the situation?
It's virtual right now. I think next year they'll probably be, I think you can go into class, but I kept mine virtual just because we're so busy here doing baseball stuff this semester. So I think next semester there'll be a lot more in-class stuff.
Do people recognize the kids? I mean, no offense, but you're probably a little bit older than the average student. I mean,
oh yeah, I'm, no, I'm definitely older.
Did people, your numbers retired? Did they kind of ask you, like, give you a second look or anything? Or
not? Well, I think at first, you know, I'm kind of like the Thornton Mellon around here of Oklahoma State. You know, it's like you know, even doing this virtual stuff, I had in one of the classes, I had to do a team project, like a partner project. So you have to do a Zoom call. And the girl got on there and you could tell right away it was freaking her out that I had to like go, no, I'm actually the person you're supposed to be talking to. I know you didn't expect a 53-year-old man to be on here, but, you know, it took a while to like convince her that I was the right person.
Well, I'm sure
we're going to get through it.
Rob, so you inducted into the Oklahoma State Hall of Fame and your class was pretty good. Barry Sanders and Garth Brooks. That's a pretty good class to go into the Hall of Fame with, huh?
Yeah, I mean, they're obviously, they've done some amazing things. You know, they're even great when they were here. I think, you know, Garth, I mean, that's obviously the relationship that I had that got him, when I called you about it, that he had called me about coming to spring training. I'm like, well, I don't make those decisions, but I'll get you a hold of Jay and get you in touch with him and then see what happens. And that turned out to be a great experience, I think, for everybody.
It was great. Robert, he stood every day, signed autograph with the autograph, never left one person, unfulfilled. What a great guy. I think he was 1 for 26 that spring, you know?
Yeah. I think his impact was a little bit bigger as far as even the players and, just how he treated people. I thought it was great. You know, we had a team barbecue over at his, where he was staying, and you know, all the players could bring their kids and everything. And I was barbecue. He had me barbecuing. And I think Hampton's dad had some connections with some stone crab, but we had really good food and he played all night. You know, he would just sit there, and the kids, and you know, there are some kids that learned how to play. I think Scotty Lawrence's daughter became a musician, and he thinks, you know, that's probably one of the nights that was really kind of swayed her in that direction, just seeing how talented he was.
And he got a ring too from the National League Championship. I mean, one of my favorite spring. Rob, so this September 11th, 20 years after 9/11, you know, I've been with the Mets a long time. I was fortunate enough to get a ring in 86. But for me, my best memory is how that 2001 team reacted after the attacks. We had a great, great bunch of guys with, you know, Bobby V, you, Todd Zeal, Al, Johnny, Vance Wilson, Joe McEwen. We just reacted to that moment. I mean, I don't think it was a charity event we didn't do. What are your thoughts now, almost 20 years after the fact there?
Well, what a crazy time and sad time. When we got back from Pittsburgh, when we pulled in, you could just see kind of the relief efforts that were going on because Shea was a staging area. And it kind of hit you right in the face of what was going on because none of us had gone down there at that point. But you know, there's firefighters trying to get some sleep. There's, you know, supplies all over the place in the parking lot. And I think at that time, Bobby was just talking about it. It's not really time for baseball right now. It's time, you know, to help out and do what you can. So I think, you know, we had a bunch of great guys on that team as far as, you know, going out of their comfort zone and just trying to help. I mean, you don't know how much it's going to help or hinder, but, you know, if somebody's asking you to do it, you're just going to do it. And, you know, I know there was a lot of requests that came in of us going somewhere and doing something, and you just did it. I don't think anybody was going to say no because you could get it done and still come back and play.
Robert, you were memory. I know my memory's failing my old days, but you were on deck when Mike hit the home run, right? I mean, when he went to bat, you know, he always, not that you didn't, but I had a feeling when he came to bat something was going to happen good. I mean, he always kind of rose to those occasions. Do you remember what you thought when he went to bat that day?
Yeah, I you know especially against the Braves, you know, we had a tough time beating them. And for us to play them that night and for Mike to hit that homer, he always had a way of coming up big in those situations. And even when he hit it, I didn't know if it was going to go, because I don't think it was kind of a cooler night. And, you know, he just always found a way to do something big. I mean, I think that's what I remember the most, is he just kind of found a way to do that. And I think just the eruption that happened, I think everybody got to just cheer and kind of let loose some emotion that they had, you know, whether they were, you know, feeling down or anything else, you just got to be able to cheer and act normal. And I think that was probably the biggest thing.
Hey, Mark, a couple last questions. You know, it's been said you played with the greatest infield ever in Mets history, some say baseball history. You at third base, Ray at shortstop, Fonzie at second, and John at first base. What are your thoughts about that infield?
It was just a really comfortable feeling. I think everybody, you know, I don't think we thought that way necessarily in spring training, but, you know, Ray is probably one of the best shortstops ever as far as just being able to get to a ball, especially in the hole. You know, he's very flashy and but consistent. And I think, you know, he was kind of the glue in there. I think John brought just his ability to pick a ball. He was so easy to throw to because he was such a big target, and nothing ever, you know, he never made any movements that made you feel like, you know, you threw a bad ball no matter what. And he was just very easy to throw to. You know, Fonzie had moved from third base to second base, and that, you know, he became a really good second baseman. I mean, him and Ray together were fabulous. And I think for the most part, you just look at how consistent everybody was. And I think, you know, the pitchers, you know, we had some ground ball pitchers, you know, Al was throwing cutters all the time. So Ray and I were getting most of those. And, you know, Rick Reed and Bobby Jones and everybody that, you know, when they had lefties hitting against them, they would, you know, you had Fonzie and Johnny on the other side. So it was a pretty special, you know, kind of time to be together.
Hey, Robin, I wanted to thank you for your time. It's great catching up with you. And you know, you go back to studying after you were done. And I hope you get all A's. And if you get a B+, I'll feel it's my fault.
Yeah, believe me, I'm going to put it right on you when I make my comments.
Okay. Devin, Mr. Ventura is all yours, sir.
Yeah, so Robin, we're going to try something a little bit different for this podcast. So we're going to do a quick fire rapid questions here. First thing that comes to your mind, there's no wrong answers here. So you're going to ace this no matter what. And we could just cue the corny trivia music right now. So
all right.
With that being said, Chicago or New York pizza?
Ooh, I like New York pizza. I like it a little bit thinner. I don't like the real big deep dish. So I like that good crust. New York pizza.
Mets black jerseys, yes or no?
Yes. I like those jerseys. They were, you know, for me, that's a fun time of my life. And I'll always like those. I'll always enjoy those jerseys.
Defense or offense?
Ooh, that's a good offense. I mean, I think you always enjoy getting a hit. I think defense, you enjoy playing good defense and helping out your team, but you always enjoy getting a hit and knocking somebody in.
Talk or text?
Talk. I'm not texting. You know, that's I'm okay with it, but I'd rather talk.
Best Halloween costume you ever wore?
Best Halloween costume. I had to go to a pirate party and I dressed up as Willie Stargell. Instead of an actual pirate, I dressed up as Willie Stargell.
Favorite subject in school, now it's finals week for you.
Ooh, favorite subject in school. Geography. I enjoyed like learning about different areas, and, you know, different areas in the world and things and how they operate in different countries. I always enjoyed that.
If you weren't a professional baseball player, what sport would you choose to play?
Oh, sport? I would take golf. I like golf. I don't think, you know, I see the size of people in football. That wouldn't have been well. That wouldn't have gone well. Basketball, I'm too short. So I'll take golf.
Jay, what about you? You a good golfer?
Me?
Yeah.
Miniature golf. I'm good at miniature golf.
Robin, if you can go back in time, hop in the DeLorean and push it to 88 miles per hour, what baseball player would you want to see in person?
In person? Play? Willie Mays. I want to see Willie Mays play.
Good choice.
That's Jay's favorite player of all time.
He'll be 90 years old. I'm just sucking up to him right now.
You had it, baby. You'll be 90 years old tomorrow, Robert.
Who's a better ping pong player, you or Michael Jordan?
Michael. Michael, his wingspan, he has touch and he has wingspan. So he's better than I am.
Favorite ballpark to play in besides Shea?
Ooh, that's a good question. It was always fun to go to Old Tiger Stadium in the American League. That was especially for a left-handed hitter, that was a good park to be in.
And last question here for you. If a movie was made of your life, what genre would it be and who would play you?
The movie was made in my life. The genre. I would hope it would be a comedy. And once Kirk McCaskill, I played with, said Christian Slater looks like me. So I'm going to have to just go with that. Jimmy Kimmel thinks he looks like me. So, but I haven't seen him act yet. But I'll go with Christian Slater.
All right, that's it. That's the end of the rapid fire trivia question.
Good job, Devin. Good job.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.